The economy-wide cost of not knowing where federal policies are going. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's news this morning that interest rates will stay put in one of the world's centers of economic power. The European Central Bank also nuanced its future intentions, suggesting it's not itching to lower interest rates again, although it could. Let's get some clarity on this and the other big story of the day from economist Diane Swonk, CEO of DS Economics in Chicago. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So the ECB a little less prone to lower interest rates. Help me understand this.
Basically, they're trying to walk a very fine line of knowing that Europe is actually accelerating right now faster than the U.S. But remember, it's off of a lower threshold. They want to make sure that we start to see not only the periphery joining in, but more fundamental changes across Europe before they take their foot off the accelerator.
All right. Now, the U.K. general election, the voting is going on right now. In the U.S., Jim Comey starts testifying supposedly in a couple of minutes here. A lot of coverage of this as spectacle, people going to bars to watch. But actually, there's some very serious implications here in terms of the Trump policy agenda, aren't there?
Uncertainty regarding the agenda has slowed down hiring in the critical health care sector because insurance companies are pulling out of the Affordable Care Act, not knowing who will be covered. Hospitals aren't hiring up as much. And many people have held back on their taxes. Actually, tax returns are running lower than they were expected because they're waiting, the very wealthy households are waiting for this tax cut that is not likely to materialize for the end of the year. That means we're going to hit the debt ceiling much sooner, and Congress is promising yet another showdown over that debt ceiling. And it's not just the Republicans being obstructionists. The Democrats, they know that they need the votes too to lift the debt ceiling. And so there could be quite a lot of rockets flaring in terms of uncertainty and where we're going over the summer.
So for people framing the testimony today as about Russia situation, as about possible obstruction of justice or not, there are wider economic implications here.
People are sort of not realizing not only delays in agendas, but actual impact on human behavior today. And we're all reacting to this. And to the extent that we delay decisions, that softens the economy.
All right. Diane Swonk, CEO of DS Economics in Chicago. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Hi, David Brancaccio, stepping out of my anchorman role for a second. Marketplace is here because these days I think it's essential to have an independent source exploring how the economy really works, not just for the market participants or the financial geniuses, but for everyone. Your support keeps our kind of reporting coming, and it is especially vital now at the end of our fiscal year. If you could, visit marketplace.org/donate to contribute and to keep us on the beat. Thank you. There's news that Uber has fired its president of business in Asia after allegations he sought the medical records of a woman raped by an Uber driver in India 3 years ago. Now, this is separate from the 20 people terminated Tuesday amid twin investigations into the $70 billion company's aggressive, some say abusive, culture. Marketplace's senior tech correspondent Molly Wood has been following the Uber story, and she joins us from Northern California. Hi there.
Hi, David.
So, look, there is state law, California law, there is federal law about how you behave yourself in the workplace. How significant really is, then, culture?
There is all of that, but even those laws ultimately come down to people, and that's what culture comes down to. And it tech companies in particular get culture that almost always trickles down from a person. These are companies that came out of nowhere and were built from scratch. And to get that venture capital in the first place, very often it is a charismatic cult leader with a really great PowerPoint. And then Travis Kalanick himself at Uber is probably one of the biggest examples of a person who has created a powerful culture, a culture of success, a hard charging culture. And that permeates into hiring. It starts to become the incentives within a company, and you get a culture in which almost all of the decision-making ends up in this one place with this one guy.
Molly, I want to ask you, how important do you think culture is to potential investors? Either are they going to buy the stock or not, or are they going to throw in extra venture capital? I mean, they want to see the bottom line. They really want to talk culture?
You know, I think they do, because what everybody has realized, whether it's in the Valley or elsewhere, is that culture is really, really hard to change. I'm really hearing venture capitalists talk about wanting to build it in from the beginning. And there's this notion in the tech world of something called design thinking, which is where you design an experience from beginning to end by really trying to imagine how a person will walk through every moment, even from their first day on the job. That is something that startups are starting to apply increasingly to building a business culture and being really deliberate about that, as deliberate as the business plan.
All right. But for companies that didn't do this in the beginning and didn't design it in, is there any hope for change? I mean, I have shelves full of business books that purport to show you how to change culture, but no one says it's easy.
Yep. And I will tell you that when I have talked to people inside Uber, one of the things that they have said is that they have never seen a company that's more willing to burn it all down. And now we're going to go through this really public and really painful series of revelations about the things that have happened internally. And it's true that if they survive that cleansing fire, they could come out stronger, but we will probably see that it takes some very dramatic measures.
Marketplace's senior tech correspondent, Molly Wood, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
And Canada has pledged to increase its military spending by 73% over 20 years. Canadian Defense Minister Harjit Sajjan issued a new 20-year spending plan, which would bring military spending there to about 1.4% of the Canadian economy. The Trump administration has been pushing countries for 2% of GDP. U.S. Defense Secretary Mattis says he's heartened. Some Canadian critics see this as knuckling under to President Trump. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.